low win rates, excessive discounting, challenging negotiations. Welcome to the Sales Readiness Podcast, a podcast brought to you by the Sales Readiness Group. We're an industry-leading sales training company that helps businesses develop highly effective sales organizations. This podcast is about one question: how to transform your team into peak performers. If you want the answer, keep listening. If you want it faster, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.
This is your host, Alonso, and this episode will discuss why customer success is critical to sales growth. Today, businesses face a highly competitive marketplace where customers have more options than ever, and their loyalty cannot be taken for granted. Large organizations should prioritize customer success skills to differentiate themselves, build stronger customer relationships, and drive revenue growth. To help us understand the importance of customer success skills and how to build a customer-centric culture, we'll be speaking with our CEO here at the Sales Readiness Group, Ray Makla. Ray will share his insights on why customer success skills are critical for revenue growth, define what customer success skills are, and provide tips for building a culture of customer success within an organization. So whether you're a sales or sales enablement leader, you definitely don't want to miss this episode. Welcome, Ray. Thank you for joining us today. So let's get started on this topic. What's your experience with prioritizing customer success skills in a large organization?
Yeah, well, one, thanks for having me and asking the question. This is one I'm particularly passionate about, and especially this year, looking at 2023, and you know, we have some unique headwinds ahead of us, still trying to figure out the inflation, recession, the job market, et cetera. And so I think customer success becomes even more important during challenging times. And you know, we saw this really at the start of the pandemic, where those companies that were able to survive and grow were ones who were really able to protect their existing customers, really nurture them, even if it meant they didn't have immediate revenue, but continue those relationships so that when clients started spending again, you know, they were able to, they were first on the list, and it was really a no-brainer in terms of who they were going to call and who they were going to do work with. So I think we should take that customer-centric attitude, you know, as we're looking at this year as well.
Have you bump into any situations where you have some anecdotes or perhaps have seen patterns of how customer success skills have impacted revenue growth in this competitive marketplace?
Yeah, you know, I think we can see it, and it's interesting across industries, right? I mean, certainly in the SaaS, tech space, when we look at adopting a client and then taking care of them, that's really a key leading indicator to whether they're going to churn or not, right? Whether we're going to be able to retain them over the long term, whether we're really going to get that annual recurring revenue. And those organizations that do that better, you know, they're able to adopt and integrate and satisfy those clients, I think are able to grow longer term and also increases the enterprise value of the companies. But I think it's the same even on a services or consulting business, where those organizations that do better satisfying the client tend to get the recurring orders. They tend to have an easier time, you know, cross-selling and growing the portfolio of offerings. And they kind of insulate themselves from the competition by doing that. So I think we see it across clients and across industries.
Yeah, so the highlight here is to build a customer-centric culture. Any tips on how to do that?
Yeah. So, you know, I think it really starts first with making customer success a priority. And I mean that across the board, across the organization. So it's not just something that's owned by CS or, you know, client services or client success. You know, we have a philosophy that everyone in the organization owns the client, right? This is a matrix where you have multiple people that are responsible and should feel accountability for satisfying that client. So when there's an issue, when there's a technical problem, when there's a complaint, everyone jumps in and is there to help figure that out and respond to it. So I think we need to, you know, dedicate the right resources. We need to provide the right training and mindset, and really think about, you know, what it is that we're trying to accomplish. I think the other thing is, you know, really listening to our customers. And when they're giving us feedback, you know, understand, yeah, that's a gift, right? That we should not just respond, but we should try to understand it. We should be curious about what's going on. Why are they asking the question? What's really happening there? So that when we respond, we can go a little bit beyond, right? We're not just checking that off or resolving that open issue, but we're satisfying the underlying need or problem that they have. So, you know, we have this concept, and it's been written about quite a bit, you know, defining those moments of truth with your customers. So thinking about what are those touch points across the organization. So it starts with the first marketing email or the first time they hit your website and they get an impression and they start to understand your brand and your offerings, all the way through, you know, the sales cycle where you're engaging, you're understanding their needs, how you sell to them, how you present your solutions. And then if you are able to move forward with them as a customer, how are you onboarding them? How are you integrating the handoff between sales and client success? And then how are you really servicing that client long term? So what are those touch points along the way where you're delivering value, where you're having maybe a quarterly check-in or a QBR, where you're understanding how you can do better, how you can improve, and what the long-term value that you can provide to that customer, again, so that you can really be responsive to their needs.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is take the time to listen, define the moments of truth, be able to define value. Let's pivot into defining customer success skills. And some of the ones that I just mentioned are the ones that you cover, but are there, what would you say, in your opinion, are the most important customer success skills that an organization should prioritize?
Yeah, and you know, it's ironic that many of these skills are foundational consultative selling skills. And, you know, we find ourselves working with client success organizations where they certainly don't want to call themselves salespeople, but they are doing the same thing in terms of understanding the customer's need, being curious about what's behind that, as I mentioned, and then really satisfying that, again, beyond just the obvious. So things like questioning, right? Understanding the problem, the impact of the problem, and what an ideal solution might look like. Active listening skills, where you're really listening with an intent to understand, right? Where you're paraphrasing and using the client's words to communicate back so you make sure you really are solving the right problem. And then just relationship building. So, you know, building that trust, demonstrating your expertise, going that extra step where they remember you. Oh, these guys are really taking, you know, extra efforts to make sure we're happy. And again, we would expect those out of a great salesperson, but I think they're critical to a client success team as well.
Do you have any examples where there is from your dealing with clients or with you as a client with another company where they've done a great job differentiating themselves from the competition through their customer success skills?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's really interesting, like in a more technical sale where they have technicians out there, you know, working with and satisfying the customer and servicing them. And again, maybe they don't consider themselves salespeople, but we've worked with a number of organizations where they're very successful and they're market leaders. Come to mind a very, you know, technical company that's doing certifications and looking at the internal operations of an organization. They're in there actually literally certifying them to do business in these areas. And they're able to insulate themselves from the competition because they do such a great job. And literally all they really have to do is ask, hey, what else are you working on? What else can we help with? And they find that they're able to expand, you know, those opportunities. So I think that's a great example. We also see it in medical device companies, where in a lot of cases, the medical reps are in the operating room, or at least they're working very closely with the doctors on supporting the products. And again, if they can do a better job understanding the practitioner's challenges, what the current products are doing and not doing and how they can help them, they're able to often expand or get referrals or, you know, satisfy them in a different way. So yeah, we see it across numerous industries.
What are some practical, actionable steps that an organization can take to prioritize customer success and make it a top priority?
Yeah, so you know, I think there are a number of things that will pull through, right, and provide better retention and really help with the lifetime value of that client. So I think it really does start with treating every customer like it's a brand new customer that we want to over deliver, right? That we want to impress. So even for our loyalty clients, right? How do we engage with them like it's the very first engagement? So it means onboarding, you know, understanding how the team is aligned, making sure those handoffs and the team is integrated on servicing the client. I think, as I mentioned, understanding each touch point that's significant and who's, you know, best in the position to satisfy the client at those turns and what happens if there is an issue. And then making sure we're able to, you know, resolve problems that come up, getting all the resources together, you know, having a response process that we're following, and making sure it's not just one person who, you know, maybe is sending an email or you know, responding to a request, but that we realize across the organization, this is an issue that we should all be aware of so that we can help, you know, with our other clients and maybe avoid that coming up in the future.
You did talk about active listening skills as a way to effectively listen to customers and build a deep understanding of their needs and pain points. Are there any other ways we can do that?
Yeah, so I think, you know, that the listening skills, the curiosity, I think those are very important. I think the other thing that is really intriguing is the opportunity for the organization to collaborate with each other. So the internal organization that's servicing that client. So the idea of having internal channels, you know, whether that's Slack or Teams or whatever you're using, but when a problem comes up, everybody's aware of it and they may not have to all address it, but at least there's an appreciation that, oh, I didn't know that was going on. That's good to know. So I think improving the ways that organizations collaborate around that. And then I think a whole emerging space is just using data and insights in better ways. So, you know, the fact that we can look at and see, such as in a SaaS business, what are the utilization rates? You know, how are they actually using the product? Are there opportunities for continued growth? And even if it's not a tech driven where you can look at the login and the usage information, but you can assess whether they're using the tools or the products or even surveying the organization to really get a finger on the pulse of how you're doing and how it's being utilized. And are there opportunities to drive additional value out of the investments they've made? Because one of the biggest challenges these days is if, you know, it comes to the CFO's desk and they can't see that there's a clear path to a return on investment, or they don't believe in that return on investment, that expenditure is probably not going to get approved. And so we need to show, well, this is how it's going to happen. And if it's not, we need to help that client, you know, realize the return, or likely it's going to be put on the shelf, or we're going to lose that renewal, or, you know, we're not going to be doing more business with that customer.
And I'm going to take a little break from my host mode here, because we do a couple of things here, the sales readiness group, to do this, to have a deep understanding for our customers that I wanted to share. One of them, we use conversation intelligence, which is basically a program that is recording all the sales conversations and then turning them into the scripts and then helping the users analyze all into insights. So I think that's been very helpful for us, and it may be helpful for others who are listening to this regarding this goal. And another one, which is we try to capture as much input as we can. So when somebody comes to the website and are browsing through our content and products, sometimes we have workflows there that will ask them, like, what prompted you to download something, or what prompted you to do this? And in a lot of those instances, we get a lot of input of the challenges they're facing that took them to that place. So that's been a big collaboration right there, not only between sales, but also all the way from when they come to our website. With that said, Ray, how can an organization incentivize teams to prioritize customer outcomes?
Yeah, and I think there are a couple of aspects to that, right? One is, I think, just shining a spotlight on it, right? The those things that get measured get improved, but celebrating our client satisfaction scores, you know, celebrating the wins that we have with customers, encouraging the team to share their success stories where we can really highlight, you know, what's going right for a change. So I think those are all really valuable and, you know, ways that we may be able to help grow that. And then I think, you know, looking at comp structures, and that's a whole probably different podcast, right? But does everybody realize that growing revenue, retaining clients and growing revenue, you know, affects everyone, and that there's some stake in that, or there's at least some connection to, you know, making sure we're doing everything we can to, you know, improve the satisfaction levels and grow those accounts.
Yeah, some great insights here, Ray. Thanks for sharing. Are there any additional comments or advice that you would like to give anybody listening to this, looking to prioritize customer success?
Well, you know, I'll just summarize that. I think the kind of business drivers behind this, especially as we look at the challenges this year, is, you know, maybe it's more difficult to get new clients, but if we can protect and satisfy those we have and really over-deliver, I think it has a direct business benefit. And so the whole idea, you know, we're hearing do more with less. Well, if that means doing more by way of increasing the footprint within our accounts, you know, increasing the share of the wallet spend, that's like having a free salesperson. So, you know, if we can increase our customer retention, it can help drive the lifetime value. So overall, the lifetime, it can insulate the competition, and it can really help us to sell with less friction, because we know that win rates selling to an existing customer are typically much higher than, you know, going after a brand new account. So I think it does help with our sales motion, but it needs to be tightly, you know, coordinated with the client success team.
That's a great wrap up, Ray. Thanks for joining today.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
The market is changing, making sales skills more important than ever before. How to transform your team into peak performers? If you want the answer, plus free resources for podcast listeners, visit salesreadinessgroup.com/podcast.